What is up, Arizona high school basketball fanatics? Welcome back to the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. Your other host, Reyes, is here with me as always. And we've got a great episode in store for you guys today. We're going to do a deep dive on Desert Christian. Things might get a little bit crazy on this podcast. It's really early. Reyes is in a bad mood. You know that's going to make for a great episode. So here we go. Let's dive into Desert Christian. Okay, Ray, scale of 1 to 10. How mad are you right now?
6.
A 6? That's not that bad.
That's not that bad.
It's not that bad, you know?
As soon as I woke up, I was like at 8.
Yeah.
I was like...
You were mad. I felt bad. I kept texting you. I was like, shoot, he's not going to come.
Bro,
I was fully prepared to do this podcast by myself this morning, bro, but you came through, dude.
When you texted and you were like, are you awake? I was like, obviously I'm not awake, dude. Like, I'm not awake.
We're here early in the morning for the podcast grind for you guys. And like I said, we are going to do a deep dive on Desert Christian. But before we do, just a couple things I want to throw your way. Number one is if you haven't given us a rating yet, you haven't subscribed on Apple Podcasts, go do that. You're failing in life. You're failing us as your faithful podcasters, you know. Go over to Apple Podcasts, go over to Spotify, hit the follow, hit the subscribe, and then leave us a review while you're there. You know we love those 5-star ratings. And then another thing is, Reyes, what's going on April 15th?
April 15th is actually popping off.
It is popping off. It's going to be live.
It's going to be live, dude. You know, we got the Arizona Small Ball Showcase, or Senior Showcase. We got 3-point contest, dunk contest. It's just like a lot of like all the seniors have committed. Everybody's there. We got some really dope sponsors. Shout out to Jones Ford, Verde Valley. Shout out to Rosati's Pizza and Payson. Shout out to...
We even got a new sponsor that's helping us out like crazy. You know, we ordered the jerseys, which those jerseys are coming in. They're going to be freaking awesome. I almost ordered an extra one for me.
Jump in the game.
Just walk around with it on.
Super senior.
But it's going to be super cool. But we also, for all of our other swag that is going to be at the Arizona Small Ball Senior Showcase, Cloud9 Sports has really hooked it up for us. And they've really partnered with us. They really believe in the showcase and everything. Huge small ball fans. And, maybe you haven't heard about Cloud9 Sports. They are a huge, huge innovative sports apparel company that strives to provide your school and sports team with the highest quality uniforms and swag, offering you all the brands that you know and trust at an affordable rate. Did that sound like too much like of an ad, Ray? It probably did.
That's literally an ad, but that's perfect. I mean, hey.
That's what they do, though, man.
They're deep in the small ball. They love the small ball. And, like, look. We love small ball, right? We love small balls. So what I'm trying to say is if you need Let me finish.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
I'm just saying, man, like for you small ball coaches out there that are always tired of probably going through BSN or something like that, and you're like, man, these prices sometimes, whatever. Hey, look no further. Go to Cloud9 Sports. Check it out. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and for a lot of you teams and coaches and athletes that are going to be there, you're going to get to see firsthand some of the swag and the quality of their clothing and stuff. So just be on the lookout for that. But huge shout out to Cloud9 Sports for helping us out with that. That's coming up April the 15th. Reyes said last time, if you guys want to come for a media pass or anything like that, just make sure that you send us an email so we can get you that Google form link and then we can get you all lined out with that.
Or just shoot us a DM, whichever is easier. But like I said, for media personnel, like if you're trying to pull up, dude, like you gotta let us know ahead of time so we can either approve it or deny it. I'm just gonna tell you right now, I'm in a denying mood. So Unless you're Coach Leo Scott.
He can do whatever he wants.
Whatever.
Okay, so before we get into the Desert Christian deep dive, because I'm super excited, I might get a little crazy on this podcast, Reyes, about Desert Christian.
Get a little crazy.
Mm-hmm. It might be a little bit of a...
Some scary hours.
Yeah. Before we do that, though, I wanted to put you on the hot seat with the question that I heard that I thought was great.
Let's hear
okay,
it.
You ready for this? Here we go, man. Let's do a little hot seat.
Did I graduate?
If you could be at one Arizona small ball moment this whole past season, which moment would you choose to be at? 1A through 3A.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot, dude. I tell you, said put me on the hot seat like it was whatever.
Well, I was already at one of them with Moore's shot to send Holbrook home. That was pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that Pima Thatcher game during like that Eastern Arizona like classic.
That was
fun.
A good game, huh?
Either that or Farley's game winners.
Oh yeah, for that in that Florence tournament,
back to back,
dude. I know that would have been sweet. You're right. That's cool. I like that.
I think those ones are pretty fun.
I still loved that Farley game winner.
It's crazy
when he hit it and like, oh, so great.
I'm trying to think. I mean, there's a lot of other like great moments. I just can't think on the top of my head. But those like four like really stick out to me.
Those are great. I would have really loved to be there for a Trivium ALA. Any of those games?
Oh, or when Trivium beat ALA at their place, right?
But just all of the, you know what I'm saying? All of the noise around it. Oh, give me that all day long. That's super fun. But a big one that I would have loved to see is the Coolidge Valley Christian game at the end of the season. You know, they had like that whole little video of like Gant like dunking at the end and waving people away. Like, that's crazy, dude.
My only thing with that is Luke Shaw wasn't playing. He got hurt.
Right, but absolutely, he wasn't playing. But, it was a packed house, you know. Things were just going off. I would have loved to be there for that game.
Phoenix Christian Highlands games.
Those would have been great, too. I know, dude. Gosh, so good.
Those would have been crazy.
Some good moments, man. So, there you go. You did pretty good.
Thanks, man.
Even though it's so early, did that wake you up a little bit?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
So, we're going to get into this and talk about Desert Christian out of the 1A.
The team out of the Dirty T.
The Dirty T.
The Dirty T.
What's the Dirty T?
Tucson.
Oh, out of two. Oh, got you. Yeah. Okay. So, like, in the south.
Yeah. One of my friends, she's from Tucson. And then every time, like, she would go home, she's like, oh, I'm going back to the Dirty T this weekend. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, what the heck's the Dirty T?
Mm-hmm.
That's really dirty. You know what I mean? And okay. I was like, what the heck is that? And she's like, oh, it's just Tucson. And I was like, well, I just call it the Dirty T. But I guess we call, you know, Camp Verde the Dirty Verde.
The Dirty Verde. Yeah.
Really dirty.
In Tennessee, it was Cordova. We used to call it the Dirty Dova.
Dirty. Just really dirty.
What are you doing? What is your vibe right now? You went from like tired to like just weird.
Just seductive.
I know, the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. Let's just start with this with Desert, man. Desert is a super interesting team, and Reyes, I'm telling you, I might say some things that make you think I'm a little bit crazy on this podcast, but that's totally okay. We're going to follow the same model that we've done with every single team. Number one, let's talk about our expectations for Desert Christian from the preseason. Okay, do you remember where we had them ranked in our top 10 in the preseason?
Were they like 8 or 11?
Well, 11 wouldn't be
I guess a top 10.
No, they actually weren't in any of our top 10s at all.
Oh, wow.
And like at time I was thinking through that, Reyes, and I'm like, you know what, maybe that was like really bad on our part, but they finished with the 11 seed, you know. So maybe they were, I mean, as for sure, as far as PowerPoint wins, they were outside of the top 10. But I'm just gonna say this, even though our expectations for them from the preseason were not like a top 10 team, I think that they were a top 10 team, especially as the way they ended the season. I think they were a top 10 team.
I mean, if you look at their schedule, I'm pretty sure we'll get into that. And you know, they did actually pick up some pretty good wins.
Well, and they lost some really close ones, like to really top level teams in the 1A.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm going to say this. You know how much I love my Fighting Frogs.
Desert Christian gives them the work.
I mean, I think that they would, you know. I think that Desert Christian is way more of a top 10 team than Siloam was.
Ooh.
Is that a hot take?
No.
I don't think it is, you know.
I don't know that's a hot take. I think that hurts your Fighting Frogs.
It does, and I love Siloam to death, man. Like, you know that. Like, I'm with Siloam.
You almost ended it all.
I did, man. I was ready to do it, you know. But
hey, can we just talk about one of the worst possible first round matchups?
It was bad, and we called it. You know, we said like they're on upset alert with the Gregory School, and Siloam came out flat, dude. They looked nothing like a number 5 seed. They went into the tournament number 5 seed. Siloam did.
They looked like an like a lily, like it was like a toad or something like that, or a lily something. Like the little like thing before they turn into like a frog.
A tadpole.
A tadpole. They weren't even a freaking frog, dude. They were just a little tadpole.
Yeah, it was rough, man. And, you know, a ton of respect for Salome. We love him to death. But, you know, them going up against the Gregory School was tough. And, you know, the Gregory School handled Salome. Desert Christian beat the Gregory School to win the consolation. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But, I mean, that. And what I'm saying is I think that Desert Christian was a top 10 team in the 1A, even though their seeding didn't show it. And, you know, they just kind of got like a tough matchup. But even with their matchup, they probably would have they would have done really good if a couple other things went their way. Mm. So, yeah, expectations from the preseason were not in the top 10. I do think that they were a top 10 team throughout the season, especially at the very end of the season. Let's talk about high points of the season. Looking at their schedule, Reyes, what do you feel was a big high point for them in their season? Because they did have some really good competition.
Honestly, the wins against the Gregory School were actually pretty huge.
How many times did they beat the Gregory School?
Twice.
They beat them two times.
They beat them two times. They played Babo really close. I know that. Let me see. Mm-hmm. They played Babo 61-57 on December 13th.
Sure.
And then other than that, you know, they lose to Hayden in a really close one by four in their region tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They still finish 11. Other than that, as far as other high point wins, I would say probably that was probably one of their best wins against was probably Cicero too, because they did beat Cicero Prep.
But then that loss to Hayden is not their region tournament. That's the playoffs.
No, 1A Super Regional Tucson Southwest Southeast Boys Basketball. St. David Sectional Tournament.
Are you looking at February 8th?
Oh, that's outside of the turn. My bad.
Yeah. No, you're good. Yeah.
That's me.
Hey, you're good, man. You know, you're still warming up the car a little bit, you know?
My bad.
It's just you're just defrosting the windshield. Yeah, man, I mean, there's a lot of really good high points, I feel like, for Desert Christian. And we'll get into this a little bit later, but, like, man, how young they are. They're so young.
Super young.
Yeah, so all of these things, I feel like, are super positive about how they competed. I thought that the Gregory School, their win over them at the very end of the season to win the consolation in the tournament, that was, I think, the high point for them in the season. And, I mean, leading into the playoffs, the Gregory School was one of the hottest teams in the 1A. And it was an ugly 43-35 defensive win against the Gregory School. And the way that Desert approached the game was great. They played a packed in zone, and they neutralized Vince Edwards. Guess how many points they held Vince Edwards to? Take a hot guess.
10.
Oh, you're close. Nope.
Under, huh?
Nope.
11.
11, yeah, I was going to say, okay. I hope you get that. They held him to 11 points, and we know how explosive Vince Edwards can be. He can get going, and he can score in a ton of different ways. So for them to hold Vince Edwards to 11 points says a lot about their team defense. The Gregory School played a box and one on Tyson Dobbins, like their probably most electric player. And Desert was led by Adam Valvala with 10 points, 6 assists, 5 steals. Bennett Vondrak had 10. And Dobbins and Jonathan Brown each had 9. And just a really balanced attack for Desert Christian in this game against the Gregory School. And what I'm saying is the Gregory School was one of the hottest teams. They go on after this, and they beat Salome in the first round, upset Salome on the road in the lily pad in the swamp. And then they lose to El Capitan by 6 points, the Gregory School. So the Gregory School had a legitimate shot. We've talked about this already, to really make a deep run into the playoffs. Mm. And Desert Christian beat them at the very end, like when they were peaking, you know. I think that's a huge high point for them, and I think it says a lot about their team.
Very huge.
Yeah, so.
Hashtag I agree.
Hashtag you agree.
Hashtag I agree.
Yeah, that's good. So, okay, here's the thing. What's a low point looking at their season and the teams that they played and their matchups?
A low point?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. I'm, like, looking and stuff like that. I think they probably want that game against Benson back. As far as a low point, I think dropping to Hayden twice.
Mm.
I think that really hurts them just knowing. Because the first game, 54-46, they lose. And then they lose in the playoffs, 54-58.
Competed better.
Competed way better.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just the fact that they couldn't get over that hump.
Right. Yeah, I think, and you're totally right. I view it a little differently. I view it that, like, their biggest low points of the season were their close losses to Babo and to Hayden. Like, I think those are the – because they had a chance to win those games, Reyes. Like, they're right in there.
Well, absolutely, and that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what probably makes it more, like, just frustrating. It's just the fact of, like, knowing, like, if we would have just did this right or made this decision and not turned it over or whatever the case was, they probably, you know, they advanced, but, you know, they didn't.
Yeah, and, I mean, we talk about this all the time with our players, and, you know, coaches always do this, that making a deep run in the playoffs comes down to just one play.
You know,
and those plays all kind of like compound over time. It comes down to making a free throw. You know, it comes down to taking care of the basketball for one possession or something. You know, like you don't do that in a possession, it costs you the game. And I mean, we talked about how great of a season, like a historic season that Babo had. You know, it was awesome. Desert Christian had a legitimate chance of beating Babo. And when they played against them, and this is, I think, let me look at the date here. It was at that first round of the Super Regional Tournament, February the 3rd. Desert Christian ran out to a 22-9 lead in the first quarter. Like, they were rolling, dude. And what I love about Desert Christian is their style of play. They can play really fast. They're not big at all. Like, they're pretty small. Like, size is their biggest issue. And we talked about that a lot in our last podcast episode with FDU upsetting Purdue. And how you can attack a team when you're massively undersized. But that's Desert Christian, you know. And they play fast. They're skilled. Their guards are just explosive, electric. They can get – they're like a way more polished, disciplined Salome team. That's like where they're at. And they have more guards and weapons than Salome did, you know, across the board. And I really like how they play. They pressure in the full court. They can play packed in zone. They can play a bunch of different ways. They're really good passers as well. I will say that. And so when they play against Babo, they jump out to a 22-9 lead in the first quarter. They're rolling. The big shift in that game is Babo goes to a zone, and we know how zones can slow teams down if you're not shooting well. You know, I mean, that happens very often. And then, I mean, just another thing, like Desert kept this game within one possession until 2 minutes and 30 seconds to go. And then Babo just went off, you know. They made some big shots, some big-time plays and all that, and they ended up winning by 8. But Tyson Dobbins, a freshman, he led all scorers with 21 points, you know. Ooh. I mean, so I'm just saying, like, they had a legitimate shot to beat Babo. Like, it's easy to look at that last final score and be like, oh, it's an 8-point win, and like, oh, yeah, they handled their business. It wasn't like that, you know. And even the game against Hayden, you know. With Hayden, they pulled out by 10 with a minute 40 to go. Desert Christian came back and pulls it within 2 points with 6 seconds to go. This is their game against Hayden in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Hayden pulls out by 10 with a minute 40 to go. Desert Christian comes back, pulls it within 2 points with 6 seconds to go. There's, like, a double technical foul called at the end, and Desert Christian misses the free throws, you know, just short things, little things. And Hayden makes theirs, and that winds up being the ball game, you know? So, I mean, I think that their biggest – Desert Christian definitely left some games on the table this season, which is common with youth, you know?
Yeah, sure.
What do you think is the best thing for a young team to get better in the following season? Like, what do you think is the best thing that Desert Christian can do?
Playing against top competition, or not, I shouldn't say top competition, but just playing against, like, when you, like, this summer, go hit up some bigger school tournaments and stuff like that. I mean, I know that's what we did with our four-year plan with our freshmen and stuff like that. I mean, we had, like, before they were even freshmen, they were playing in JV, like, almost varsity at seventh grade. Like,
losing every game,
but, like, they need experience, you know what I mean?
Right, it helps.
It helps with just experience, obviously, just being in the gym, working on situational, working on your basic fundamentals, just working on skills that you can't sometimes just learn in a game, you know? You got to help these kids actually see the game from a different point of view.
And I think what you mean is, like, you can't learn in practice, or you can't learn, like, just by telling someone. You have to learn it in a game, you know?
Yeah, that's what I meant to say, my bad.
Yeah, no, that's great.
It's still early.
you're still there. So, yeah, I feel like, for sure, playing against, like, teams that are outside of the realm of their comfort zone, they got to play against big teams.
Yeah, like, go challenge some of these top 10 3A, 2A teams. Like, there's mm-hmm. And if you get work, there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm talking about a team that has size.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
And that's exactly, go play a Highland Prep.
Mm-hmm.
Go play, like, I don't know, just find these tournaments where you know you're going to play against just, like, kids that are just way bigger and more athletic than you.
Yeah.
Because then it's going to help you figure out a way, because you're going to have to game plan. You're going to have to figure out a way how to play against kids like this.
Well, because let's call it what it is. Who's the main team in the 1A, the team to beat?
North Valley.
North Valley. And they've got size. I mean, they're bringing everybody back.
Everybody.
So, I mean, if your biggest weakness is your height, you need to get reps at playing. Because let's be honest, how many 1A teams have the size of North Valley?
St. David, baby.
Yeah, I mean, but not anymore. I mean, a lot of those kids graduated, you know?
That's true.
And so, like, and even them, their height is a little bit more evenly spread out across the board. They don't have, like, a 6'7". You know what I mean? Like, a 6'6", like, the length and all that. So, if I'm them, I want to... Yeah, I want it like a Pima from this year, you know. But like for real, even though Pima was like they won it all in the 2A, if I'm Desert, I want to play against a team like that so I can get some reps at playing against size and length. Because I mean, we talked about this in our last podcast episode, but dude, if I'm Desert Christian, same thing with ALA that we talked about, dude, I am leaning fully into full court pressure.
Yeah,
how do you dictate? Because those guards are quick; they can fly around. They already kind of do it. But I'm thinking, how can I change it up? How can we go from man to diamond, you know, to some run and jump stuff? Like, I'm looking at all of that stuff because I know at some point down the line, I'm going to need to play bigger teams in the full court and not just sit in the half court. What's cool is they have the ability to do that with their zone and everything and their discipline, but I'm just leaning fully into that, man. And I love, you know how I love it. Like, I could literally be coaching a bunch of, like, blind, deaf kids.
ASDB.
Oh, Reyes.
Mic drop.
that's a mic drop. Oh, dear. So, anyways, just that totally caught me off guard, man. What the heck? What is your deal, man?
That's literally the school.
I know. Just whatever, dude. You're crazy, man. I could literally be coaching... I could literally be coaching. I can't believe you just said that. I coached a kid in Tennessee who was like legally blind and he was deaf in one ear.
Really?
His name was Nate.
That's so random. Just one ear.
Yeah, dude, it was actually like, it was one of the funniest things. Like, not that having a disability is funny, but like, this kid had just a great way about him, and there were so many times in a game where I would be trying to get his attention, and he was literally standing right next to me, and I was screwing. You know, I'm not a quiet person. I was like, Nate, 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 and he would just be like looking straight ahead, and I'd have to like reach out and hit him, and he'd be like, "Oh yeah, coach, what do you need?" I'm like, bro, you need to do this. And he's like, "Oh yeah, I got you." And then it was funny, but. I could be coaching a school of blind deaf kids and I'd be like, hey, you know what? I think we could pressure a little bit. You know, I think we could get on pressure and get after these kids a little bit, you know, like that's just how I am. I love to do that. And that's awesome. And I think that Desert Christian needs to lean fully into that to help dictate paces of the game. I think that would help them a lot because we know this, right? When you have a lack of size, the best thing for you to do is to not view your lack of size as a weakness, but to view it as an asset and to just play small ball and play fast and aggressive. And how do you deal with their bigs down in the post, like different ways that you can defend that and everything. So yeah, I think that that's huge for them moving forward. Obviously, the team to beat is North Valley, so I'm really excited to see that. Let's talk about who's leaving, Reyes.
Let's talk about
it. Do you know who is leaving from Desert Christian?
No.
There is no, all their impact players.
Their starters are staying.
All their starters come back.
Yes.
Which is crazy, dude. Like, they were all so young. You know, all their best kids are coming back. They're going to have this, what did you call it? The Dirty T?
The Dirty T.
Yeah, they're going to have their hands full with Desert Christian. You know, I really like how they play. They're returning all their starters, and I think, from what I'm hearing through the grapevine, Reyes, is they can maybe add a little bit of depth off of JV that's coming up. Now, there's still no size coming up. They're still really small. But, you know, after seeing what they have, if they're talking about some depth coming up, I mean, they're going to be some skilled guards. They're going to be loaded, dude. Can I make a hot take right now?
Make a hot take.
Or should I? I think I'm going to wait.
No, say it right now.
Should I say it right now?
Say it right now.
Here's my prediction for Desert Christian next season.
Oh, whoa.
You ready for this?
I guess.
Hold on. Let me see. How do I want to do this thing here? Do I want to do scary hours? I don't think I want to do scary hours.
I was like, I mean, it seems like Desert Christian.
Or maybe I should do your favorite one.
Oh, that's just awful. No, that is just awful. We can change that.
It's fine. Yeah, we can change it. Desert Christian's in my top five in the way too early preseason top 10 for the 1A. They're going to make it to at least the Final Four next season.
Whoa.
That is how much I believe in Desert Christian. That's how far in I am. Wow. I'm all in, dude.
A little crazy.
And I know they're not going to let me down, Rose. I know it. What do you think about that? Do you think that's too much of a hot take? What teams did you put ahead of them?
It's a very hot take. What teams did I put ahead of them?
Mm-hmm.
So you got North Valley, you got Babbo, you got Hayden.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the freaking 1A.
You gonna put Salome in there?
No.
Dude, that breaks my heart, dude. Salome's little run is over, I think.
Unless we do something, unless Coach Aaron has something we just don't know. Yeah. North Valley, I think Babbo. How much did El Capitan lose?
They lost some kids.
They lost some kids, but oh yeah, they lost everybody pretty much. I was just like looking. I was like, yeah,
I was being sarcastic when I said they lost some kids. You got the Gregory School. That's probably got to be up there.
Whoops. North Valley, Babbo, Cicero, Hayden, the Gregory School. You know what's weird? Even though they had a pretty, like, what is it? What's the season? Not like underachieving, like Mogollon.
Mm-hmm. Mogollon's going to be interesting.
I'm very interested about Mogollon. I'm not going to put him in my top 10, but I think, like,
I would put him in top 10, probably.
Wait, this is top 5, though, right?
I wouldn't put him in top 5, but I'd think about putting him in top 10.
I think, so then I put, whatever you said, Desert Christian, probably, I guess, 6 or 7.
I'm putting him at 5. They're making it to the Final Four, dude.
It's pretty wild.
I know.
That's a wild take.
I can't wait, though. But here's partly why I feel that, okay? So looking at 4 of their returning starters, they average double figures. Dobbins averaged 16.7 points per game. Brown averaged 11.7. Vondrak, 11.5. Valvola, 10.7. So if everything stayed the same next year in 1A, except for the seniors leaving, Dobbins would be the number 4 scorer in 1A, and the other 3 would be in the top 20. On 3-point shots made, Brown would be the number 3, and Dobbins would be number 5. On free throws made, Dobbins would be number 3 and Valvola would be number 6. On assists, Valvola would be number 1. Dobbins would be number 9, Vondrak number 14. On rebounds, Vondrak would be number 12 and Valvola number 17. So their starting point is going to be really good compared to all these other teams. That's if everybody can stay healthy, right? And here's the thing. They are. I was talking to one of the guys at Desert Christian. He's actually part of the Army, Mike Esparza. So shout outs to you. Thank you for giving us so much great stuff on Desert Christian. He said that they are a Christian school, so they pray for height every day. They pray for some tall kids to come every day.
You better keep praying, buddy.
I was gonna say you might need to pray a little bit harder, Mike, because you know it's not working out for you.
Yeah, I think some of the 3A schools are praying just a little bit harder than you. Just a little bit.
That's true. You know, Valley Christian, Northwest Christian.
Scottsdale Christian.
Scottsdale, oh my gosh. Gilbert Scottsdale Christian. Christian's prayer life is through the roof, dude.
Through the roof.
Think about it, man.
Gilbert Christian did pray a little bit harder, though, in that playoff.
They did. That's true.
Just a little bit harder.
You're right. Reyes, you haven't been praying hard enough, dude.
I haven't, you know, and that's my fault. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get into this whole, like, little spiel about what's going on, but we're just going to keep it moving.
Hey, so, you know, Easter Sunday's coming up.
Yeah.
Every year at church, we're supposed to write down a name of someone we're going to invite to the Easter service.
I go regardless.
Do you know who I wrote down?
You didn't write me down.
Reyes Herrera.
You did not.
So this is my formal invitation, buddy. I know you're coming already. But you should come to Easter Sunday.
You know, it's so funny. I was thinking about taking our kids to a tournament that weekend.
On Easter? Who's running a tournament on Easter's?
Devil worshippers.
Dude, there is no way there's actually a tournament on Easter.
There's actually a lot of tournaments.
No, there's not.
I swear to God.
Dude. I'm not even going to say what I want to say.
Heating up. What the? Why would you say that? Like, what the f*** was that, dude?
Yeah, I don't know, dude. That's crazy. But this is my formal invitation.
You're not
to
playing
you
on Easter Sunday?
No, I'm not playing on Easter Sunday. Come on now, dude.
What do? You look for eggs? You do Easter egg hunting? Like, I'm just wondering.
Actually, we probably are going to do an Easter egg hunt. But
bro, yeah, you're 30.
I am 30. Well, it's not for me. It's for the kids.
Shut up, dude. You're lying.
Why would I go on an Easter egg hunt?
You know why.
For the money. And, you know, there's that one egg that has $5. I want it, dude. I need that money. Anyways, I got huge high hopes for Desert Christian. You know, I think that they need to pray a little bit harder to get some bigs, you know, maybe some size. Reyes, what are your expectations for Desert Christian for next season?
Obviously, they're playoff bound. I can see them being the top
10. Oh, for sure, playoff bound.
Jesus Christ, let me finish, dude. I think they're going to be a top. I think they're losing the Elite Eight.
Really? Who do you think they lose to?
I don't know, but they're going to lose in the Elite Eight.
Okay.
As of right now.
You want to make a bet on this right here, right now?
A way too early.
A way too early bet on the literally 1A playoffs.
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm saying they get to the Final Four. You say they lose in the Elite Eight. Okay. On a burrito. We don't even need to shake. I'm from Texas.
I'm a man of my word.
So am I. All right. Well, actually, you still never got me my burrito from Farley and Tapaha.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about, dude.
Oh, my God, bro.
I'm just saying. Dude. Okay.
I bought you lunch.
When?
Literally that week.
I don't remember that lunch. I don't know. I don't remember that.
I remember that.
Okay, is there anything else you want to say about Desert Christian before we get out of here?
No, one thing I did want to say, though, can we just talk about some of the coaching movements?
Oh, yeah, let's do it. There's some big
coaching. Just before we leave, because like I said, this episode's going to be kind of shorter, but there's just some things I want to talk about. First of all, Coach Mitchod.
Okay, hold on. Let's do this, okay? We're going to talk about some coaching movements here in our last little segment. It's going to be short, but I just want to do this little transition so that way if you don't want to tune in for some of these coaching things, this is going to be very out of pocket, okay? But if you want to tune in. It's coming up. So the correct pronunciation, Reyes, is Coach Miko. So what do you got to say?
He's out at Push Ridge.
So how do you know this?
Just saw an ad.
An ad?
An ad.
Like an Instagram ad?
No, not like an ad, but no. I saw something on the AIA website where they're looking for a head boys varsity basketball coach at Push Ridge Christian Academy.
Dude.
So he's out.
That's crazy.
So that was pretty wild.
That's like a good coach that we just lost in the small ball.
I want to say, what's your thoughts on that?
I'm bummed about that. I love Coach Miko. You know, it's funny. I always think back to when we had him on the podcast.
And he had his whole team.
And, like, this guy, we had no idea. He said, he kind of mentioned in passing, like, hey, like, can I bring, like, some of my kids on, too? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, you know. Didn't think he was going to actually do it. We log on to the Zoom, and there's literally
a classroom of kids.
There's like five kids in there. And I was like, oh, shoot. Like, what the heck? But it was a fun podcast.
It was pretty fun.
You know, their big Will Way was on there. He was kind of funny. And, like, Ryan Robinson was on there, and he was great.
Voorhees
and all them. But they've just had an interesting last couple of years, you know, with really Voorhees have not being eligible anymore, Way being out. You know, I mean, if they could have kept all those pieces together all at the same time, that would have been tough. But one thing that did stick out about that was Miko's relationship with the kids. They loved him.
Mm.
You know, so I'm bummed out for Push Ridge. And, you know, I really like Coach Miko and how he handles his kids over there and everything. So I'm kind of bummed out about it. How do you feel about this, Reyes?
I don't know how to feel, to be honest with you. It's kind of weird.
How does this shake up the South? Does it change anything in the South?
Well, I don't necessarily think so, just because they weren't, how should I put this? They just weren't as competitive as they were the past couple of years.
Right.
So, I mean, it didn't really affect them because they didn't make any noise this year.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They picked up some decent wins. as far as the Dirty T.
This is the Dirty T in the 3A.
I'm curious who they're going to pick up and hire and stuff like that.
Coach Obiton. Go ahead, you can hit it now.
I think
I feel like he's always lurking. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's lurking for something. I love that guy, dude. Well, he's so funny.
He's doing prep now, isn't he?
Yeah, he ain't coming out of that.
He's a prep guy.
That's a lot more his vibe, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I was trying to go on the AIA, like, job board to see if any other.
You know who I would love to see take that coaching position? Coach Milliard. I would love to see that. I think that'd be fun. I think he'd do a killer job.
I think so, too. He's a really great guy. And like I said, his connections down the dirty team, it's crazy.
I know.
Hooks it up.
I think Pushridge would be, like, on the map.
I think he would do a really good job with that group.
Yeah, I do think he would, too. So
I wish he would have got the Sabino job. But Sabino, you know, they ended up making the playoffs with, I forgot the coach's name. Even with all that, like, just nonsense that was going
on. It's crazy, dude.
Like, they somehow figured it out.
I know. That's pretty sweet.
It is pretty sweet. So, yeah, that was a coaching shift that I saw, which was kind of crazy. And then can we talk about this other one? That's like, it's like really weird. And it's funny because, like, he listens. So it's like, we're going to get an answer.
Well, we could just, like, mention it, you know, like.
I don't know if it's a coaching change necessarily.
Well, we got an interesting follow on Twitter the other day. And, you know, our social media manager pointed it out to me. And just sent me a screenshot, like, bro, what's going on? So who followed you?
Oh, I thought we were still going to try to make it seem like our social media
manager. Oh, I'm sorry.
Was like a different guy.
Yeah, Reyes is a social media manager. I'm sorry. So who followed you, Reyes?
This guy named Nick, or Coach Nick, he gave me a follow. And I was like, oh, sure, like, whatever. I don't think I followed him back, which kind of felt bad. But he gave me a follow right here, yeah. At NKH399.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, okay, sure, like, why not? I click on the profile, and the first thing it says on his bio, head varsity Bellies basketball coach, ALA Ironwood. And then he tags the ALA Ironwood hoops.
That literally breaks my heart.
What? Well, no, and this is where I get, like, it gets kind of confusing.
Because
like,
Coach McCurdy still has it on his bio that he's the boys basketball coach.
I believe so, yes. And so I'm trying to find, let me check real quick, just to make sure.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this.
It still says head coach at
ALA. Maybe he just hasn't changed it, you know.
Is but Coach McCurdy out?
I don't know. He might be, you know. But
I hope he's not.
I hope not, too. And that's why this is all just speculation, you know.
We're just kind of confused, so we want answers.
Yeah, well, we just want to know. You asked him, didn't you?
I know. I forgot.
Oh, you said that you were going to ask him.
I totally forgot. I said I was going to do it, and then I got distracted doing something else.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just.
We're going to screw a raffle, buddy.
You guys know that I'm a huge ALA Ironwood fan. I have been ever since Coach McCurdy. I still remember when we did the podcast episode when he got the coaching position a couple years ago. And we did a whole little segment about Coach McCurdy coming in. And
what he's done for the program.
What he's done for that program has been awesome, dude. Like, he has helped so much. Love how he does things. He's a stand-up guy, character, like, just an amazing person, you know. And the way that he has built that program and taken them to, I mean, all the way to the Final Four, dude. Like, you know, taking them up to that point and how they competed against Fountain Hills and how they competed against their region and everything. Like, you just got to love it, man. The guy builds a program and he knows what he's doing. So knowing that, like, just thinking about the possibility of him being out, Corey Wood being gone, there are other seniors being gone. Tony Willis.
Tony No Look Willis.
Tony No Look Willis. Love the nickname. Like, that bumps me out, dude. Like, gosh. I love knowing that we have some great coaches in the small ball scene. And that kind of, you know, that hurts me a little bit to know that that would be the case.
If he's gone, if it's true, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean for ALA Ironwood?
Scary hours, I would say.
Good or bad way?
Not in a great way. You know, they lose a ton of their main players. They still have some good players coming back. I'm not saying that. But if you lose your main core players and then you also lose your head coach on top of that, I mean, that's not a good recipe.
I wonder if he's just going to take a step back and just be more of like the AD. Cause
that's what I feel.
He's the AD. Right. And so I wonder if he's just going to take that step back and just really just kind of hone into that, which is great. I mean, regardless, it's great. But I think just us being selfish, I think we just want to see him still on the
Coach McCurdy, if you're listening to this, don't stop.
Well, I you know, I'm not even saying I don't care, but I just want to know.
Yeah. I just
tell us what's going on. We don't mean to throw it out in the air like this.
Well, no, we're just talking about it. It's just speculation. And in talking about it, we're saying that we would be bummed out because he's such a great coach, you know. It's not like we're trying to throw shade at him or anything. So, yeah, Coach McCurdy, if you're listening to this, just know that we got a ton of respect for how you've run your program.
And maybe it's time to jump on the pod.
And I think it is honestly time for him to jump on the pod, too. So maybe we could have him in the studio, but I think he'd be a little bit too big to come to our studio.
We might have to do the spring tour.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, can you talk about some of the schools?
But we gotta be.
Well, we're going to lock down the dates, but just talk about some of the schools.
So some of the schools that we have for sure talked about going to, we talked about going to Highland Prep. We talked about going to Valley Christian, Florence. We're going to go to that one no matter what, especially for that showcase for the seniors.
Pima.
We talked about Pima. It's going to be tough.
Horizon Honors gave us an invitation. Pima's going to be tough, but they threw in a 2-for-1 for us. Pima and possibly Thatcher.
Yeah, and then North Valley, and then Babbo. And yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot of teams that have, like, you guys have, you know, gracefully and graciously, like, just kind of reached down, like, want us to go check out your campuses. We're going to talk over this next couple of weeks and really narrow down our top five, and then we're going to hit them up.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, stay tuned for that. Reyes, is there anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
No. Hey, did you see that FAU beat?
I did, dude.
Dude.
I'm still scared about today, Texas.
I'm just saying, bro.
They have a chance, dude. They literally have a chance. They've got a chance. Am I dreaming right now, Reyes? They have a chance.
Bro.
If they win it all.
If Texas wins it all, guys.
I'm going to quit my job because I bet $1,000 on them to win the national championship.
And this was like last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into the show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive on Desert Christian, and be on the lookout for more deep dives coming soon. If you haven't looked at our Patreon, go check it out. If you love Arizona Small Ball, you're going to love that. We hope you guys have a great week.